This podcast replay is brought to you by Caneswear.com. For all your Canes, Dolphins, and Heat needs, visit them at 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Free shipping with online orders over $99. Go to Caneswear.com at Miami Fanwear. That's the spot where South Florida fans shop.
Oh, yeah, baby. Ready to rock and roll. Manny, you feeling nervous about our Heat?
Yeah, brother, I am. I didn't watch a single second last night because I was busy writing a story, but I kind of expected it after Gabe Vincent went down. I think that's a big loss for them. Kyle Lowry is not nearly the same player Gabe Vincent is, and they're not defending the three-point line the way that they were earlier in the season, and the Celtics are just knocking down threes. I think it's a recipe for disaster here.
Yeah, I wasn't worried after the first loss. I said, I'm not ready to panic, but last night, panic's now setting in. I feel like if you don't win tomorrow, you ain't going to Boston and winning game seven. I'm sorry.
I wouldn't put anything past Jimmy, or Eric Spoelstra. I'm not especially impressed with Boston's coach either, Joe Mazzulla. I think, they could come up with the kind of plan to beat them. But, right now the Celtics are playing with a lot of confidence and, the Heat really miss Gabe Vincent.
Are you, you buy, just out of curiosity, you buy the Bam's a star thing?
No, I've never really bought it. I mean, okay. Is Draymond Green a star?
No.
I mean, they're excellent role players.
I actually call him a super role player. That's what I call Bam.
Yeah.
I think, no, that is, I got to give him a little credit, bro, because, you know, 100%. I've seen James Posey. Udonis Haslam, bro. Isn't that like a super role player also? Right?
Right, yeah.
Udonis Haslam is not – while we're going to hang his number in the rafters, we'll probably put a statue out there. He's Mr. Heat, all that for UD. UD's not a star, never was a star. But he was awesome, you know what I mean?
Right.
But it's just one of these things, like it's like we forced a square peg in a round hole. And, you know, what I love? Well, he does all the little things. My brother, my superstars aren't there to do all the little things. Don't tell me that he's a star or a franchise player that he's doing all the little things. No, yeah, they could do some little things, but I need my stars to carry the damn franchise. You know what I mean? Like Kachuk, he'll dive on the floor to block a shot, but that mother effer is going to finish out games for you too with game-winning goals because that's what they pay him to do. And so I just love when this whole, you know, PR machine of selling him like a star. He's a fantastic young man. He's a multifaceted player, but he is a super role player is what he is to me. That's what he is.
Right.
And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, I think part of it too is we have to, like, in our minds when we talk about players and we bring up these kind of topics, like, you have to be able to dominate a game offensively. Right, to be a star. It's one thing to do it on the defensive end, but that's never going to be valued the same way as what you do on
in the 90s. Yes, when you scored 80 and 90 points and points were at a premium, sure. That's when Ben Wallace can be a star, bro. Of course,
but we're in a different era, and you got to be able to take over in the fourth quarter and do what Jimmy Butler does and others do. And if you're not, then you're just not a star, you're just another guy. But I will tell you, I mean, he is to me, he's probably their second best player, right? I mean, Who else do you really have at this point? It's pretty much Jimmy, the only guy who can take over. Tyler Hero could when he was healthy at times. But Kyle Lowry, I mean, that's the contract to me that's going to come back to bite the Heat in the ass, because Kyle Lowry is nothing more than a role player now. He's not what he was years ago. And when you invest that much money into one dude who's at the end of his career, that's the kind of thing that makes you lose in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah. Boys are continuing the recruiting, added a new linebacker.
Yes. Are we, I'm trying to remember who we're talking about now because, it's been a while since, who's the guy?
Patrick, something, wasn't it? What's the name of the kid? Shavers.
Oh, the kid from last week. Yes. Out of Miami Central. Yes. Hold on. I'll go back. I've had so much things going on in my mind.
The Anthony Campbell kid they signed, but also the linebacker,
Vincent Shavers from Miami Central. Right. He's a 24 recruit, a 3-star kid, played at Miami Central. Thank you for bringing his name up, because otherwise I would have forgotten. I apologize.
It's all good.
But yeah, he was a week ago committed. Nice kid. He plays both ways. I like kids that can play running back and linebacker. I think that's so important in today's game. that linebackers have the kind of skill set to play on both sides, especially in high school. I think, you know, obviously you don't need him to do it at the college level, but to me, DJ Williams, right? You think about the best linebackers in Miami. That's what that guy did. He started on both sides of the ball. Sean Taylor in high school played running back besides safety. Like, to me, I like versatile kids that can do both. I think it makes them better players on the defensive side of the ball when that's what they do primarily. So I like the Vincent Shavers pickup. He's the last of eight commitments. And as we've tried to tell you many times before, the month of June is going to be very busy, very important month for the Canes because they're getting a lot of elite kids on campus. There's only one blue chip recruit in the class right now, but they got a lot of great kids coming in next month.
Okay, so one of the things that I'm interested to know, and maybe this is kind of a multifaceted question, maybe Bam Adebayo should ask it. No, all right, so the stories from the past when guys used to work out on their own, when former players used to come back and work out with the current players to get them prepared for the season because there's only a certain amount of hours they can work with the coaches, so they would do it on their own. Right. So is there much of that going on? And here's where it becomes the Bam Adebayo question. If there's not much of that going on, is that because maybe Mario is still in the infantile stages of initiating this program and establishing it, that maybe a few years from now, when you have more veteran players on the team that have been in the system for 3-4 years, and they can then bring the young guys along and then other former players come in and kind of join in, is that why maybe it isn't happening? Or is it happening right now? You know, the stuff that used to make the former Canes teams a little better in the offseason because they would be able to work on their own.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something that goes on constantly. I just think, you know, when you think about those great Canes teams, there were great players that were doing this stuff.
Of course.
It wasn't guys who were just guys, right? Just a dude, just a guy on the roster. These were dudes that were doing this stuff, the elite of the elite. And I think you can say that it's happening, but I think you can also say it's not happening with the special players yet because those kids are just getting in here. The special players are just getting
into the door. It's a cycle that we haven't started again. I got you.
Right. I think you know, you look at this last recruiting class, I think there's some very special guys in there. I think the Ray Ray Armstrongs, the Francis Maui Goas, you know, I look at Ray Ray and I think of Santana Moss. I think he's going to be that kind of a talent. I look at Maui Goa and I think he's probably going to be a first round pick at offensive tackle. Somebody's going to take this kid high up in the draft and he'll be a special player for Miami. But they're freshmen, they're babies, and it's hard to lead when you walk in the door as a true freshman and get a bunch of older guys to follow.
I get it. We're 3, 4, 5, 6 years from starting that cycle.
From being at that level, that special level where the Canes once were. But it's happening. I mean, I think Mario certainly changed the culture of the locker room. I think a lot of the guys that were maybe bringing it down have been have transferred out, aren't necessarily there anymore. But again, none of that matters unless you go out there and win on Saturdays, right? Like, we can talk about the off season, and then if they go out and go 7-5 this year, people can say, "Oh, some off season, right? Like, what did they do?" It's about talent. It's about the whole thing. You've got to get the whole thing rolling, or, you know, we can sit here till we're blue in the face and talk about this and be like, "Well, they're not doing their job in the off season." No, they need good players to win. They need good players to go out there and take care of the job on Saturday, and then to do, you know, what you talked about, which is bring the other guys along with them in the offseason workouts and make them special. So, yes, we're in the infancy stage, I think, of this.
What's Mario doing now with the staff and the program before we get to the part of training camp?
Well, every college program at this time of year does all of its scouting, right? I mean, this is really important for recruiting and then also for offseason scouting because now they have an idea. You know, now the transfer portal is sort of settled down. You have an idea of, okay, these are the guys that they have. These are the changes these programs have made and the coaching staff. This is the kind of offense. Now we can start studying on, you know, what we might see. We can study the players that we know are going to be important to them. We can study the coaches and the schemes that they ran and get ourselves prepared. So this is sort of the homework time of the year while the kids are out there working out on their own and the recruits are coming in to visit. But they're working, dude. Mario doesn't take a day off, man. I mean, this is the kind of guy who's going to tweet out photos of himself on a beach somewhere.
Yeah, no, I can expect that from him, that he'll never take a day off. That's why I'm intrigued to see what they do now in this part of the offseason before they get a full-blown training camp going. All right, what are you working on The Athletic so folks can check it out, my man?
Yeah, I know we're talking a lot about the Panthers and the Heat, and rightly so. They've dominated the sports scene, but I just put out an article on the Parkland Douglas baseball team, who just won their third state championship in a row, undefeated season here in South Florida, where we love our baseball. You know, our kids that grow up in this community. I mean, we've produced so many damn great baseball players. I'm talking about the youth level. I'm not talking about the pro level.
I know.
But at the youth level, there's been so many great players. These guys just went 29-0, and I went to Douglas yesterday. I was on campus when the team got back from the state championship with their trophy. I was there when they were getting off the buses and meeting with the school principal and the athletic director. And it's horrible, but that damn building where that massacre happened is still up. And I don't know if you've driven by Douglas.
No, I have not.
I mean, it's been 5 years, and I know that they've put these big chain link fences and mesh to block it, but it's a three-story building, and it's an eyesore. It really is. And just imagine you're pulling up with your third state championship in a row. There's this happy celebration. For an outsider like me, it's like the bus literally pulls up, and that building is still just a few feet away from these kids as they're getting off the bus. And I know for them.
And that tells you, when it's all city and government ridden, this is what happens. If it was a private institution, that building would have been gone years ago. They would have eliminated. Right. Jorge Mas, or the Mas brothers, built a stadium in 8 months.
Yep.
8 months. They built the stadium.
What they're doing, dude.
Private funding, bro. Private funding. That same stadium has to be built by the county or the city, and it takes 2 years. And it's really not a difficult stadium to build. It wasn't that complicated, but they did it in 8 freaking months, dude. Right. And that's just red tape, bro. That's all it is, crap.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you still have the trial of the school resource officer that was there on campus the day of the shooting. It's going to start next week. So that's the reason the building. I mean, that's what they say. The reason is still up.
Yeah, they got to use it for the courts. Yeah.
But the point is, like, it's just, you know, these kids have put together something spectacular in terms of the school and winning these championships. This tremendous baseball program. And I just wanted to give them a little bit of attention. So I wrote that for The Athletic. And there'll be plenty of college football. I mean, we're doing a ton of recruiting stuff. Like I said, June.
Yeah.
June is around the corner. I'm doing an SEC recruiting notebook. Grace Rayner, my colleague, just did one for the ACC. She called me up to ask me about Miami and what's going on with Miami. So there'll be tons of stuff to read in The Athletic in the weeks ahead.
All right. Follow him on Twitter at @Manny_Navarro. Manny, as always, thank you, my brother. Have a fantastic weekend.
All right, brother, you too. Take care.
You got it. There you go. The great Manny Navarro coming your way. And the people at Caneswear, man, 2511 South University Drive in Davie. You can get anything and practically everything with a Canes logo on it. Brett and the boys, they do an awesome job out there, man. Go check them out. Jeff, all the great people out there, man, they're so helpful. Free shipping when you order over $99. If you go to the website, you'll be able to see anything and everything. You can buy Canes gear, Dolphins gear, Marlins gear, Panthers gear, Inter Miami gear, Miami Heat gear. They got it all for you there. Caneswear.com.
If you're a Miami sports fan, then there's only one store to go to, and that's Caneswear at Miami Fanwear in Davie. They're your one-stop shop for all your Inter Miami CF, Canes, Dolphins, Panthers, and Marlins merchandise. They have hats, t-shirts, game day jerseys, and so much more. Located at 2511 South University Drive in Davie, and open 24/7 online at caneswear.com or intermiamiwear.com. Call them at 954-835-5597. Caneswear, the spot where Inter Miami and all Miami sports fans shop.
So it's like Caroon? Caroon.
Caroon, yes, because he went down below and he said it's like.
I saw it. It's like Caroon. So Caroon. Okay.
We are way off on that one, huh?
Well, God damn. That's some terrible shit there, bro. I was like completely off.
Did you see a thing from SportsCenter with the last time the Panthers made the Stanley Cup final?
What about it, 96? Yep. What was it?
Matthew Tkachuk hadn't been born yet. Tiger Woods hadn't turned professional. Tom Brady yet to throw a pass at Michigan. Google was yet to be incorporated.
Oh yeah, no, we were.
Yes, 96, right?
96. We were using Prodigy and AOL. That was like the beginning of the internet.
Internet, yeah. Yeah, that was the MySpace right time.
I was right there at the start of the internet.
It's just wild to think.
Like CBS Sports was like the main one that people would go to.
Yes.
There was no ESPN.com, I think.
I don't think so.
I don't even know if ESPN.com existed at that time.
No, at those times, I think maybe it might have been like in infancy stage.
Yeah, I think, because I remember in 97, I was early 97, I was in San Francisco, and I was working for Sports Byline USA, and I remember using the internet. My God, it was dial-up, it was slow. Oh, my God. Netscape.
You wait to hear all that, and then you're like, come on.
Netscape was the other one?
Yep.
Netscape, Prodigy, AOL. Yeah, dude. God, that was crazy, man. Yeah. And by the way, that's what reminds me of what crypto is right now. It's the same as the internet in the middle of 90s.
Oh,
same exact thing. Intimidating. Most people don't know how to use it. They don't think it's going to be important. They don't think it's going to be a part of their lives. And now you can't live without the internet. And the same shit with crypto. It's the exact same thing. It's going to be a part of your everyday lives. Web3, blockchain, crypto, everything. Anything and everything you do will be tied to that, just like, because it's the modern day internet. It's the more secure internet. And it's what I keep trying to explain, you know, but whatever, you know. It's all good. You keep listening to other people, especially people in our government, setting us back. Yeah.
And did you see the emotions, Billy Lindsay, when he was on NHL? Did you see that? They had him actually on the NHL Network the night that they won. He was the guest. Because I was wondering why he wasn't on the call, because usually when they're – oh, no, wait, game five, they were away, right? Or no, it was a sweep. He was here, right? They won in Sunrise,
Yeah.
Because usually Billy's on the call, radio call. Yes. He wasn't there. And then a piece came out where after they clinched the NHL.com, they go there. I mean, he couldn't even, like
– Yeah.
He was stumbling over his words, all like everything that – what it meant to him to sit there and – because he's one of the guys that's been there through
– The whole thing?
The whole thing from when they're 96 all the way to now. Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he might have went away for a year or two, but he's always been –
Right
there now, and man, yeah. You could just tell how much it meant to him. And then you see Luongo up in
that goal by Tkachuk,
yes,
the other night might be the one that tops Billy Lindsay's.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
because it comes, you know, the meaning behind it and all that, and you know, the Panthers are more of a novelty. You know, it's God, I hate to do this. Yeah, it's kind of like the Heat and the Panthers right now. When I look at the Heat, it's a cutesy, great story, adorable that they overachieve, all that stuff. It feels good in your heart. I love it and all that. But deep down inside, I know they're not really that good. I just know they're really not that. They're not a championship caliber team. There's no way. It's just not a championship caliber team. And then when I look at the Panthers... And I know they've had that shady season, but then there were reasons why, and I'm not really a smart hockey guy, but, and I you know, I trust Poop a lot more than myself. After all, he is Canadian. So it's by law he's supposed to know. Just by osmosis, he picks up everything on hockey more than all of us. But anyway, all kidding aside, he explained to me how they were injured all year. It was a new system. And so all of those things that maybe that kind of played into it. And then the goalie, that's one thing I know, that once you get a hot goalie going, boy, no matter what. And the Panthers just look more like the real deal with the players that they have than the Heat. You know what I mean? So it's kind of the same thing. Back in the 90s when the Panthers made it, it was a great story, a cutesy story. But once we knew we were going up against Colorado, it was like,
that was,
bro, Patrick Waugh and Forsberg, and you know, it's just like, get the out of here, bro. We got no shot against these guys.
I was going to say, that's another thing, right? Because you knew you were going to go against Colorado. The Heat are going to go against Denver. They're looking at Denver, who's had almost, what, a week off?
Yeah, dude. And they're way better.
No, no, not only that, but I mean, but they also had a week off.
They got two legit stars, dude. Yeah. You know, two legit stars. So it's kind of the same story of the 90 Panthers and the 2023 Heat. It's a great story. I love it, man. Upstart, upset, underdogs. Everybody counted them out, and they just keep going. But deep down inside, if you're honest with yourself and you watch the Panthers and you watch the Heat, there's real with the Panthers. The Heat, it's just a phenomenal story of an underdog. That's all it is. It's the bad news Bears falling short to the Yankees. And you can, you know, tell the Yankees to take that apology and shove it up there or whatever. But it is what it is. That, yeah, and they went to breaking training. They went to Japan. That's right. That's right. Yep. Eddie Lepp says, we had encyclopedias. Big O, I heard Boston has an 82% chance to win. Yeah, well, I don't feel good about tomorrow. I really don't, man. I hope they play the game of their lives. You know, they may need to play the best game of the season on Saturday in order to advance. Lenny says, in 96, I remember feeling proud of my Motorola baby, blue see-through beeper. Yeah, I remember when the beeper started becoming see-through, and yeah. No, and remember, we went from beepers that could talk to beepers that could have digits, and then we learned how to spell hello with digits and, you know, all those different things, and then we started to get sports scores with our beepers. Oh, dude, you know, I got the beeper that gives me the headlines, the news, and the scores, and that was like the greatest thing since sliced bread. Yeah. Beepers. Oh, man. That was so awesome. Filthy Cat 305 says, I got spoiled by Wade. Bam and Jimmy are not at that level. I'm sorry. It's not Jimmy. Let's not throw Jimmy under the bus. That's not fair. That's not fair. Jimmy is by himself. You can only ask so much. And can we step into the honest room now? Okay? I love Jimmy Butler. He's an awesome player. Is he Dwayne Wade? Is he LeBron James? Is he Shaq? Is he Zoe? Okay. So he's really not a number one. Right? He's a number one here because we have no choice. Correct? Right? Because if you're playing with Shaq and Wade, Butler, what, is a three? If you're playing with Timmy and Zoe, he's a three. If you're playing with Bosch and Wade, he's a three. See what I'm saying? So if you look at all the big stars that we've had here, he's a three in that mix. Because he can't shoot the way, you know, you need some, and he can't score the way some of those guys can. So it's different. And that's why I would tell you that, you know, it's kind of a, he's fantastic for us, but he's all alone, man. You know? It's only you suckers out there that believe that Bam's a star. That's all. But I think maybe some of you might be learning your lesson finally. Hey, by the way, I don't see enough people saying I'm wrong about Bam. He's not a star. And there's plenty of you that argue with me about it. He also had help winning titles. Not saying that he wasn't a superstar. To a time, what he did against Dallas... At that time, Shaq was kind of – he didn't play like the year before. And that team, you know, that Dallas championship, I could say that he was really the true only superstar on that team at that moment, because Shaq was going like that with the quickness. The year before, Shaq played like a stud. He was slim, and then he got injured at the end. But then he let himself go the following year, and he started to become a dick again. And so, whatever. Right, Filthy Cat. Wade was by himself in 06. The second leading scorer was Walker with 13. I know. Filthy Cat, you are correct, sir. That's what I was just saying. In 2006, Wade carried that team, bro. Carried that team. 2005, I'll give Shaq all the love. I'll give him, or as they say nowadays, I'll give him all his flowers in 2005. They would have, if Wade and Shaq don't get injured, they beat the Pistons and the San Antonio Spurs for a title in 05. I'm convinced of that. Shaq was playing out of his effing mind. That year, he was a stud, dude. 06, after that injury, he lost it. Oh, does Riley blow this team up if we collapse here at the end? Troy, it's not that if he blows the team up, how do you get rid of Lowry? How do you get rid of Tyler? See what I'm saying? So as easy as I could say Lowry, Tyler, and Duncan are, you know, deadbeat salaries, and they are, and I would love to unload that $60, $70 million, if it's going to take you picks to go along with that to get rid of them, then no. And it's going to be hard. And so how many people are going to line up for Lowry? Nobody. You're going to have to be able to trade for a disgruntled player on their side. So it might be another bad contract that you're getting back from Lowry. So you're better off just sucking it up and dealing with Lowry for 1 year so you can get the salary completely off the books. And then Tyler Hero would be nice to trade, but who is Tyler Hero, bro? Yeah, he's a nice little scorer at times, but he can't stay healthy ever. It's fragile. So it's not easy to move that contract. And then Duncan Robinson has built up his value now. How much is he going to bring back? You know what I'm saying? So in a perfect world, I'd love to unload those three guys. But it's easier said than done. And then what are they going to be offering you in return? Are there going to be any more bad salaries in return? That's a little scary, man. You know what I'm saying? Just like if you don't use Cutter's Edge Pro and you don't call William and Mike, that's a little scary, folks. Dade, Broward, Palm Beach counties, I'm telling you, Cutter's Edge Pro, they are amazing. They are your total landscape solution, lawn and landscape maintenance for medium to large HOAs, condominiums, corporate parks, and large commercial building complexes in Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties. They've got like 70 trucks, something ridiculous. I don't know. It's probably 60-something or 70-something, but it's ridiculous. It's an enormous company. You see the trucks all over South Florida, folks. Landscape lighting from pathways. They could take basic LED lights to color changing technology, which is what we have in our house. So if the Heat win, we got Heat colors. If the Panthers win, we got Panther colors. You can do all of those kind of things, man. Reach out to my friends at Cutter's Edge Pro, 954-472-0622. Ask for William or Mike and tell them that Big O sent you, man. Tree trimming and removals, landscape design, outdoor lighting, irrigation design and build, synthetic turf. And my dogs love the synthetic turf. You're going to love the synthetic turf because the maintenance is very minimal, okay? And you're going to save hundreds, thousands, and thousands in the long run because you're not watering the lawn all the time and you're not cutting the grass all the time. There you go. Go to CuttersEdgePro.com and go to their Instagram page at Cutter's Edge Pro so you can see a lot of the work that they've done. CuttersEdgePro.com. Yes, sir.
You know, I don't know how to say his last name. So you probably know who it is. Cameron Gorby. He does the PR for the Hurricanes. Mm-hmm. I guess he was traveling, maybe up to the ACC baseball tournament. I'm not sure. But he's on JetBlue.
Okay.
Watching the Panthers game. There's 8 seconds left in the game.
Oh my God!
And a big blue thing, blue block pops up and says, "Please listen for a quick announcement." Blocks the whole screen in the play of the game-winning goal.
He doesn't see the Kachuk goal.
And then it does the audio too, right? If your headphones are in, so he didn't hear it either.
No. No. Wow, that sucks, dude. That sucks.
I think something happened to us.
It's like, you know, YouTube does that all the time. That you're watching something on YouTube, and right when it's about a punchline or something, that's right when it pops into a commercial. And you're like, you sons of bitches, you did that on purpose, didn't you? You knew exactly where the punchline was, where the moment where the, you know, the crescendo was going to hit and the drama or whatever, and boom, here comes a commercial. You're making me wait 5 seconds for me to push this thing, huh? Oh, using your Bad News Bears reference, who's the Heat's Tanner? Oh, God. I don't even want to do that. Whoever you call Tanner is like basically calling him a racist. You can't call.
I was thinking loudmouth.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's just a lot more than loudmouth, bro. SNJs and now a... No. You can't. It's just, man, the shit we used to watch, you cannot watch it nowadays, dude. They could never play it. You have to go back and just watch it on, you know, on your own, your DVR or whatever, on television. But they would never make movies or shows like that at all. If Butler had a Shaq on this team or even an Alonzo Mourning on this team, Butler could bring a championship or two to Miami guaranteed. Hell yeah. I'm with you to extreme. That's where I have to pick on Riley. I love Riley to death, and I'm never going to want him to go. I'm going to want him to work any day, every day of his life that he wants to work here. But I will tell him straight up, yeah, you haven't done a good job lately, bro. You've done a mediocre job and Spo's bailed your ass out. Okay? Luckily, you have Spo. That's what I would tell Pat Riley. I'm not kidding. I'm 1,000% serious about that. But I would never, ever want Riley to leave. I just would tell him, Pat, you got to raise your game, dude. You've been effing it up, dude. This Lowry bullshit. These contracts that you've been giving up lately, as Quarter Flash would say, you need to harden your heart. You've gotten a little soft as you've gotten older. And I know how it is because it happens to me, okay? Because I see my ass, like, you know, watering and crying for certain movies nowadays. And like 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, it's like, bro, I would have never been emotional about this. I wouldn't have given a shit. You know what I'm saying? It's like, why am I sad about this? You know what I'm saying? It's like, this is the weirdest thing. It's I feel like the oldest Wayans brother is it Damon Wayans? No, it's not Damon Wayans, right? You know the Glimmer Man? You ever saw the Glimmer Man? The movie The Glimmer Man with Steven Seagal and one of the Wayans brothers? Which is the oldest one? He's the one that's behind, huh? Dwayne? Okay, Dwayne Wayans, with him, and there's that. He's watching that Casablanca, I think it is, and he's like crying or whatever, and Seagal's like making fun of him. That's kind of like me. Yeah. Damon Wayans, the fourth one. Yeah, it's the oldest one. Oh yeah, there's a shitload of Wayans. Yeah.
Were all of them on the
list? Yeah. You can't have it in living color like either nowadays. Oh yeah, they were all involved at one point or another. They were all involved. The sister and everything was involved in living color. Yes. Yeah. They're all talented in their own way. Yeah. God, I loved In Living Color. God, that was such a great show. Laugh my ass off in Living Color. Dougie Fresh says, Bam was an all-star a few years back. Today is occasionally, very good keyword, occasionally. Yeah, man. He's a terrific, multifaceted player. He's just not a star. That's all. Keenan Ivory Wayans. That's what they say is the older one. Keenan Ivory Wayans. He's second? So then maybe it is the second one that that was in Glimmer Man. Well, hit Keenan Ivory Wayans, and his IMDb, is he the one on Glimmer Man? But that one. He's the first famous. That's the one. The one with the mustache and kind of balding here a little bit in the top. And yeah, bro. Yeah, he's the one in Glimmer Man. I actually like that movie, Glimmer Man. Did a good job with that. I thought Wayans was terrific in that movie. What else do we have? I wonder if Ron DeSantis would laugh at men on film skits in Living Color. Ron wouldn't want anything to do with that. He's as homophobe as they get, bro. Holy crap. Yeah. I've never seen anybody hate the gay community more than that guy, bro. Jesus. Wow. Terrible. Did you see Pat Mahomes was asked about his brother yesterday? Speaking of losers, not Pat, his brother. I kind of felt bad. What was that?
I said, that is until Germany. Then Patrick will be the loser.
Right, yes, exactly. That's right. Pat will be the loser then. But so they asked him about his brother. And, you know, it's one of those where I don't blame him, dude. You know, I kind of feel it's an unfair question in a way, right? Because Pat's not the one that's a screw up. It's his idiot brother. So he goes, it's kind of a personal thing that I'm going to keep to myself. You know, at the end of the day, I come here to play football and try to take care of my family at the same time. So it kind of just keep it to myself and just go out there and play football when I'm in the building. It's your family, he said, but you have to come here and do a job. That's what I try to do every day. And I kind of, you know, I felt bad because his brother Jackson was arrested May 3rd after a restaurant owner alleged that he grabbed her and forcibly kissed her multiple times at her Kansas establishment 3 months ago. The younger Mahomes was also accused of shoving a male member of her waitstaff earlier in the evening. Jackson appeared in court, yada, yada, yada. Listen, it's not the first time this guy's an idiot and done all kinds of crap. But you feel bad for the other person that's famous. And this has happened in all walks of life. Sports and entertainment and politics and whatever. You know what I mean? And it's not your fault that your sibling or whatever is a disaster. I mean, what are you going to do? You can't hold it against Pat Mahomes, you know? And I kind of feel it's an unfair question, to be quite honest. I would never ask that question. You know what I mean? Because it's, unless he's there with his brother committing the acts, there's no reason to ask Patrick Mahomes about his loser brother. You know what I mean? Because we all of us, right? We have some family member that's kind of an embarrassment. Is it your fault that your brother, cousin, uncle, whatever, father, mother, whatever? You know, it's like when Dez Bryant comes to the Miami Dolphins for an interview before the draft, and Jeff Ireland wants to, hey, so your mom's a prostitute, huh? It's like, what does that have to do with playing football? Right? Why are you doing it? It's a 21-year-old kid. He's trying to make a living coming out. Is it his problem that his mom is a prostitute? What does that have to do with football? So your dad's a pimp and your mom's a prostitute. Great, dude. Thanks for reminding me my family's kind of screwed up. Appreciate it. Again, do you want me to catch a football for you or not? Because, you know, my mother on the corner is not going to do anything for you. You know, and so that's kind of unfair. I found that you know, disturbing, to be quite honest. And if you're the media member asking, I think you're kind of pathetic. If we're going to call it like we see it. If Patrick Mahomes was doing it inside the Kansas City organization, he did it at a game or something, then maybe it does become a story that you can ask. But if it's somebody's odd behavior or whatever, what was the years ago, what was her name? Geraldine something. And her son was caught in something. You know what I mean? Wasn't Jimmy Carter's brother kind of a disaster also? You know, they're, like in politics, it's happened. Geraldine Ferraro, that's it. And her son got caught in something. And it kind of hurt her, you know what I mean? But it, and but it's like not fair that we put the celebrity, the politician, the entertainer through some kind of personal hell when they're not the screw up. It's somebody that's part of their family. You know, that kind of stuff. It's so silly, dude. You know? Drago, you remember Ferrara, right? Wait a minute. Is it Karun? Okay, because I want to make sure that I remembered. Karun says, I remember I watched one of those Dateline type shows where one twin raped a woman and blamed the other twin to the authorities. It took a while, but they were able to ID the person using forensics. Okay, that's crazy. Big O and Sean, you ever wonder why siblings raised by the same parents can be so different? Like one is good, the other is horrible, kind of different. It happens all the time. And usually, you know, in most cases, it's not like you're a criminal and you're not. It's usually this one's quiet, this one's outgoing. That's, you know, that's how it is. This one's mellow, this one's kind of rowdy, right? You know, this one's kind of smart, this one's not as much. It's usually those kind of opposites, you know. Then you have the other extremes, that one's just a total scumbag and the other one's a completely decent human being. You know what I mean? And then the poor decent human being has to constantly be asked about your sibling that is trash, you know, and it's just so unfair, dude, you know, and to do that to Pat Mahomes, I find it classless. To be quiet. It's bad enough for the poor guy. Okay, so you're in Kansas City, right? Here's Pat Mahomes. What does Pat Mahomes do for you? What does Brown do for you, like UPS? What does Pat Mahomes do for you in Kansas City? Well, let's see. He brings me a ton of entertainment. He brings me winning football. He's brought me two championships. He's brought me the best quarterback in all of football, possibly the best in the history of the game or top five. And let's reward him by talking to him about his scumbag brother. It's like, really, dude? Is that what we're going to do? That's what we're going to do to a guy that all he does is great shit for us. Everything and anything that Patrick Mahomes does in Kansas City is just awesome. So let's reward his awesomeness by embarrassing him, by asking him about his brother. That's so just wrong at every level, dude. You know what I'm saying? Just wrong at every level. Just like the guy this morning, oh, Jimmy Butler played like shit. And I felt like mother effing that guy. I really did. Like, the only reason you exist is Jimmy Butler, you asshole. So, yeah, I get it, bro. He hasn't played great the last two games. I don't have the guts to say one bad thing about Jimmy Butler. Guy leaves it all on the damn court for you, bro. He needs other people to step up. I told you clearly yesterday. All the pressure's on the role players. And the role players didn't step up. Maybe it'd be easier for Butler to kind of continue if the momentum and everybody else was doing their damn job. It's got to get tiring when you got to carry and carry and carry and do everything. It is exhausting. Okay? Exhausting.
And also, it doesn't help that Boston is saying anybody's going to beat us but Jimmy Butler now.
Right.
I mean, it's not like Jimmy's just out there missing.
It's obvious.
No, yeah. He's got three guys around him. Any shot he makes is contested. Or
what are you going to do, double Bam?
Not at the moment.
No, never.
You know he's going to pick up the dribble, so he's not going to go straight to the basket and dunk.
It's like, give me a break. It's like crazy, dude. It really is. And Living Color reference, don't you dare talk bad about Mrs. Jenkins. Well, she said she does do drugs. She's seen more crack than a panty shield, but I don't gossip. You didn't hear that from me. That's the Wayne's sister when she was just sitting on a porch, right, and just like, you know, gossiping and throwing. I remember that, Dougie Fresh. That was freaking awesome. And Living Color is so good. For you youngins out there, well, I don't know. These young people might get insulted or, like, they're really touchy about, yeah, they don't have the sense of humor that we do. So I don't know if you young people can handle In Living Color. You know, young people cannot handle Red Fox and Archie Bunker and George Jefferson. Young people, you can't watch Blazing Saddles. Do not watch History of the World Part 1. Do not do that, young people. It'll be shell shock for you.
Oh, when they announced they're going to do the live Jeffersons and All in the Family, did you like cringe a little bit? I was like, I got to see how they're going to do this.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it wasn't, you know.
Yeah. No, it wasn't as.
It's what's going to happen to the Pat McAfee show on ESPN now. Okay, he can say whatever he wants because he has to say it. But I get it, bro. He's getting paid.
Yeah,
and so he's also got his money. It's you know, Barstool is not going to be the same as taking over.
Well, I was reading another.
And by the way, and hell, even I saw Portnoy may not even have, like, he may not have.
I don't know if they're going to renew my contract.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, he's like, he's almost out of there, and it's like, yeah, bro. Once you get taken over like that, you know. And you knew they couldn't do All in the Family like they did it.
No,
back.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
And come on, man.
Going back to McAfee too, was one of the things was that he wanted to get rid of the costs.
Yeah, of course, I guess.
He was like, it's just too much.
He was carrying the burden. Yeah, because they gave him the money, and then he has to pay for the production and everything. I get it. Yeah. I get it. But you know what? Well, I've been at it a lot longer, so you know, I like freedom. I really enjoy freedom, so I wouldn't have.
Yeah, but also he's entering a different stage of his life because now he's got the baby, and
he still
can
make. He can make more money, bro.
Yeah, but he could make it there doing.
Oh no! Now yeah. Now
you know what I'm saying? Like, and then maybe
now he gets the mail in.
Maybe when that ends, then he goes back, and the kid's older. But you know, it's
at that point he'll quit.
Probably. I mean, he'll have plenty of money, but I'm just
plenty
saying,
of money.
If he wanted to, he could go back to do it.
But he still, I would have stayed on FanDuel. And I would have figured out ways of creating more revenue and keep my freedoms. You know what I mean? Because that's kind of what we do now. You know? He and I have more freedoms and more successes than we've ever had. So, you know, it's that's kind of the way it goes. But I don't know. I kind of feel bad because I really like that show. And I don't, you know. What show is good on ESPN? End of story. You know, that's the thing.
I believe Skip Bayless took the heat for Game 6, so now I'm really nervous.
Why? What happened?
No, he said that that he don't believe Boston can get a third win in a row. Gabe Vincent's coming back. The Heat will win. I was like, oh, now I'm nervous.
Okay. Well. Yeah. I just hope Jim Cramer doesn't say that the Heat are guaranteed to win. Or Barkley. If Barkley says the Heat are guaranteed to win, then yeah, you're kind of screwed. They just made History of the World Part 2 in a TV show. Yeah, I heard about that, but I'm not even going to watch that. That's probably so bad at this point. There's no way you can do the way it's supposed to be done. Okay? The previews to History of the World Part 2 at the end of History of the World Part 1 are going to be more edgier than anything they did in that History of the World Part 2. Okay? See a Viking funeral. Jews in space. Oh, God, that was awesome. And by the way, the ship was awesome. Remember the ship? It's like a Star of David that's flying, and it was actually really cool. They actually did really good. So they were edgier in the movie at the end than probably whatever they film nowadays. It's just a lot of that stuff can never fly now. You can't. Red Fox can never be tolerated in today's world, or Archie Bunker. People would lose their mind if they heard those people. Are you kidding me? They would protest. They would. What's that stuff when they block your ass out right away? What's that called? In life when they. When people want to block you out and they. What's that called nowadays? When you. No, it's not ghosting. Ghosting, that's individually, but like when a whole slew of people want to just shut you down. What's that called? Cancel. Yes. Yes. That's it. But it's a culture cancel. Cancer culture or whatever. That would happen nowadays. You know. Forget about it. Don Rickles couldn't last 2 minutes on television in today's world. He couldn't last 20 seconds in today's world. Yeah, Mel Brooks is a genius. Holy cow, wasn't there a government official that said something about Jewish space lasers? Oh yeah, but that's Marjorie Taylor Greene, who says all kinds of stupid shit all the time. She's just her and turds are just as useful to the world. Actually, turds are more useful than Marjorie Taylor Greene, because with turds we can use that as fertilizer. Marjorie Taylor Greene is actually not even good for fertilizing. So I don't know what use she has at all, actually, to be quite honest. Exactly like Louis C.K., they were going after his ass, too. By the way, how are the markets doing right now? You know, inflation went up slightly today. And the Dow responded up 300 points. S&P's up almost 50 points. NASDAQ slightly up half a point. Kind of shocked, actually. Kind of shocked. And Bitcoin approaching 27. Jasmine starting to climb a little bit. I like it. I like it. What else do we have? Where's Ethereum at? Up to 1830, up 2%. Matic is up 4%. Okay. All right. The crypto market is slightly in the green, too.
Can I give everybody a glimmer of hope?
A glimmer?
Game 6?
The glimmer man?
Oh, for the Heat?
Yeah, Gabe's playing?
Well, no, but listen to this. The Heat and Celtics have played each other in 3 of the past 4 Eastern Conference Finals.
Yes, sir.
The Celtics have won every game 5 by exactly 13 points.
Wow.
The Heat have went on to win every game 6. And I confirmed 2 of the 3. So,
it just makes me feel like shit now about that. Since there's no way it's going to continue. Oh, God. It's like when we start making too much of a case for why, and it's all these things that mean nothing. Yesterday, I saw some Heat site tweet out, you know, they showed like a picture of Butler smirking before that last game against the Celtics that they then went on to win. And then now this, you know, or what was it, smirking when Grant Williams went after him and all that, and then they exploded in the second half. And then they got a smirk last night from him on the side and see, oh, it's a sign of things to come in game six. And I'm like, oh, God, we're reaching for all kinds of stuff, dude. Jesus Christ, dude.
I am very interested to see, though, the referees that are assigned to this match, this game.
Yeah.
Although with Scott Foster, last game we won, by the way.
Yeah.
Just so
I think they've won the last two with Scott Foster.
I believe so.
Okay. Yeah. Hell, even the classic movies like Monty Python's Holy Grail and The Life of Brian couldn't be shown today. You know, it's funny. My daughter saw them the other day because I have the DVDs, and then but she found it on a service. I said, you got to see Monty Python, and. But she has a sense of humor. So I kind of raised her a little bit more with an older soul, you know. And her mom, of course, who did most of the raising. Nervous about the market with the debt ceiling deadline approaching. You see how the suckers are all over? You could tell that Gonzo was not listening at the beginning of the show. Gonzo, I opened up the show that the world is full of suckers. They're 60 billion apart, dude. That's nothing. That's like you and me negotiating, we're $6 apart. 60 billion's a joke. You can find 60 billion easy. Their problems are in the trillions, okay? A lot of billions fit in trillions. Anyway, they are going to, there's going to be no problem with the debt ceiling. They will get this done. It's all lies. Everything's a lie. Democrats and Republicans, all they do is lie to you people. It's whether you're a Republican or a Trumpy or you're a Democrat or a Biden, you're a fool for believing all this shit. Same thing when the Democrats passed that $1.7 trillion package. The Republicans could have blocked it. I was praying they would and do what's fiscally responsible, because unfortunately our governments never do anything fiscally responsible. And then what did they do? They just put up a stink so they could negotiate and get some things for themselves and then pass the stupid bill and then complain about it after. But you idiots had a chance to stop it. That's because you don't care. They just fool you idiot Republicans and Democrats out there thinking that they care about you when neither side cares about you. And they end up passing that disgusting bill that has all kinds of money that they're throwing away that you and I will pay for. And they do the same thing here. They make a big stink about the debt ceiling, Democrats or Republicans, to get you guys riled up, like you, Gonzo, and get you all worried, when in the end, they know they got to pass it. They just want to get what's in their best interests, because that's all they care about. Not your interests, not mine, their interests. That's all. You know, whatever, man, you guys want to keep getting suckered, you go ahead. That's why Democrats won't let you vote on CBDCs, because we would all vote it down, because that would control the hell out of us. But would they put it up for vote? Of course not. Why do you think the Republicans and the conservatives don't put up abortion for vote? Because we would vote it down 70% and we would have abortions legal in the country. But they can't. Because they want to do it. They want to control it on their side. Don't be stupid. None of these people give a shit about you. The faster you wake up and figure that out, the better we will be as a country. Look out for Americans. Don't look out for Democrats or Republicans. Don't look out for Trumpies. Don't look out for Bidens. Don't look out for Bernies. Don't look out. they're all a bunch of clowns. The faster you figure that out, faster you'll, you know, notice how one side will tell you, no, don't make me wear a mask, but I'll control your vagina. And then the other side says, oh, we want gun control. Oh, but wait, you can steal all you want in California, Oregon, and Washington. So you want gun control, but you want to allow crime. Oh, but wait, you can't tell me to wear a mask, but I can tell you you can't have an abortion. You keep believing each side and keep believing and keep being a sucker. You go ahead. Keep doing that. Stop thinking for yourselves. Keep thinking that either side cares about you guys or looking out for you. They're looking out for their best interests. Okay? That's what they're all doing. That's why, whether it's the Biden's son or Kushner or Elizabeth Warren, or they're all getting rich, bro. All of them. But they just, you know, they bait each side of you to go up against each other. And then you idiots think that one side is better than the other, or one side figures it out over the other, and that's what they want, to divide your ass. So there's no problem with the debt ceiling. They will raise the debt like they've raised it 4 billion other times. And they'll continue because that's what our system is. It's all run on debt. You know? So stop being a sucker. Jesus.